Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Hour 2 of Mino and the Mayor. Reminder coming up this Sunday at the Brown County Fair. It is Veterans Appreciation Day. Military veterans get in free, open to active military veterans, survivors, dependents of veterans, family members. Have some identification. Enter through the South Gate by the DePere Ice Center for free parking. At least 22 vendors will be there to talk about different benefits and all the different things that the Vet Center, the service organizations, they will all be there if you have any questions. I'll be doing some speaking and a book signing. Joe, you've done a lot of book signings in your day.
I have.
I'll be doing a book signing there. My great friend Chuck Wellens, United States Marine Corps Vietnam veteran, will be there. Kevin Bauer will be performing. Troy Streckenbach will be talking. Joe Olick, of course, the Veterans Service Organization director here for Brown County, will be there. So Sunday at the Brown County Fair, please stop on out. Veterans Appreciation Day, you get in free. And by the way, another thing folks can do at the Brown County Fair, Jim, that I think is really cool, Civic Media has a booth set up.
Right.
And just, hey, Todd, can you talk a little bit more about that?
And how successful it was yesterday.
It was really nice. It's called the Truth Booth, and we started doing it in Wausau at the fair there, the Marathon County Fair. And what it is, it's basically a microphone where folks can come up. We ask them some simple questions about living in Northeast Wisconsin, growing up here, what they enjoy about it, maybe some of the changes they've seen over time, things that they'd like to see changed. What do we need more of in Northeast Wisconsin? And then the big question is always, what's your favorite food at the fair? So everybody, it's usually either cheese curds or corn dogs or something like that. But then we take that audio and we're using it to kind of try and bring unity with our communities.
Do you have one?
I do.
Give us a sample, please. Yeah.
All right. So this is, I believe this is going to be somebody, she's an entrepreneur, but she basically tells her story of living in Brown County.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative and like actually like impact people and see that I really could do that has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs and I get to do my own thing too.
I love it. Folks That's, just get to sit and tell their story.
It's the real deal, you know?
Yeah.
And people, I talked to Todd when we got in this morning and they're after maybe one or two questions, they get very comfortable and people want to tell their story. And I think it's good that we as Civic Media maybe gather a little data on what do people like and let's do more of that. And what do people think we need? And let's try to get a program.
And then where can people find these?
We're going to have them actually on our website.
Okay.
And then we're also producing them up. They'll be hearing them on the air here on the radio station.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's keep playing those. I like that.
And it's not just Brown County, right? You're doing this, you said, Wausau and a few other fairs in the state, right?
Yep. So we've got another one planned for the Wisconsin Rapids area.
All right. So we are going to know the state.
We will get to know the people. Yeah.
Right.
I like it.
I think it's great.
I like it a lot.
You got to give Civic Media a lot of credit for knowing who their customer is. I mean, we're not just out getting big-time advertisers.
Well, it's a new company around here.
Right,
so
and they're focusing on what's important, and that's the customer.
Yep.
Hey, I just want to, before we get to our guest, a couple other things at the county fair. You know, Johnny talked a lot about, you know, his speaking, which is going to be great, Veterans Sunday. But, you know, and a lot of us have been to the fair, but that's just a great family event. I mean, and for $6, it's really worth going to. But, you know, we've got a lot of the kids shows. They really focused this year on doing things for kids, and they have that whole Nick's Kids show. Of course, tomorrow, the tractor pull is at 11, and that youth livestock, which is just awesome to go through that and see all that. You know, the Cougars will be performing Sunday at 2. You know, that's a great band. And, I mean, look at this
list. Can I say it real quick? I didn't realize there's a rodeo. I love rodeo.
Look at all the stuff
I know.
On there.
And Demolition Derby.
Yeah,
right?
That's
already been happening. That was Wednesday.
You know, I there is a couple things that have happened. But
rodeo's today.
Right.
And tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tractor pull's coming up. Sunday is the horse pull. Now, again, we got to be careful about that because Jim made some disparaging remarks
about the horse pull. Get that
and
tape.
We had some people say, hey, these horses are bred and they enjoy it. It's what they do.
Okay. And you know what, Joe, the way that started was John said, you know what, I don't really like that horse pull
thing. You did.
That's
you
not true.
Did. No, you didn't. Absolutely did.
I said, you know, I think you could be onto something there.
No.
It was started with you and then I got the critical email, but that's right. Pick on the mayor.
You know what they had that would have been fun? A homemade beer and wine tasting. That would have been good. I love when people make homemade beer and wine and things like that. I like that a lot.
That fair's great. So, like, get out there. Let's support the...
What's this one? Okay, what's this one? Horse Gymkhana. That's going on tomorrow at 9. What's a horse Gymkhana?
I have no idea.
Todd?
No.
How about this one? A rooster crowing contest.
Oh, there you go.
Is it real roosters or is it people that try to sound like roosters?
No, I think it's people that sound like roosters.
So that was how...
I think that would be fun.
You remember where we heard that?
No. Where?
The EAA. Right, Todd?
Oh, that's right.
Well, they did the yodeling thing.
That wasn't a rooster. Okay,
Let me hear your yodel.
I can yodel like you can sing, so right. I'm going to pass.
Well, we've got a very good friend here. Joe Vertigan is a local author. How many books have you written, Joe?
Seven so far. Working on number 8.
That's incredible. Five were stock car related?
Six, actually.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the other one was?
Was the reformatory Tales from Green Bay's Maximum Security Prison, where I worked as an officer for 27 years.
And I read
years.
That book, and I was telling you about it, Jim. I literally had nightmares. How did you get up every morning and go to work?
You know, you just do it. You always are aware of your surroundings, and... It's kind of like a brotherhood. Everybody has each other's back as you go on, you know, as you go through the gates there. And it can be intimidating, but you can't let it intimidate you, basically.
But, Joe, let's go to current events with the reformatory. You've been reading about this. Are the mice a real problem?
You know, I saw that. I will tell you this. When I was on OJT, which is on-the-job training, we didn't have mice as much. Roaches in the Will Kill came in a local company. Roaches in the kitchen everywhere. I don't know. We didn't have mice there a whole lot. There was one in the cell hall once in a blue moon, but that was about it. We didn't have a problem with them back then, but okay. I saw what's going on.
Oh my gosh! And because I think a lot of people just in this area would have a mouse in the house, right? And,
right.
But they're making this thing into
Ben. Yeah. You know, and I've recently talked to some of my friends, you know, and former coworkers there. You know, they've always been in there. I can say this, there's been a ton of construction at the prison for many, many years, a lot of vehicles in and out, and a lot of new projects going on there. I don't know if that is a factor at all.
I'm sure it's global warming.
Yeah, maybe.
Blame it on COVID.
You just never
it's
know.
It's COVID.
Yeah.
That's
Well, Joe, let's talk about the current book that you're writing. What, do you have a title?
The Monfils 6 case 30 years later, where we're basically taking a look at that whole case and looking at the main players nowadays, and some of that are still here with us are reflecting on it. That meant this many decades later. So,
and the thing is, this would be at least the third book I know of written on that case, but this is from a different perspective now, correct?
It is. The most exhaustive one that Mike Piaskowski co-authored with Dennis Gullickson and John Gay. It was almost like the Bible. I mean, they did a better job of investigating, I think, than phenomenal stuff. Joan Trepper wrote a book, but hers was more of as an advocate for the six defendants, more of an advocacy kind of thing, and their journey, you know, after these guys got released. So mine is just a whole different look at it. Going to interview some of the people that have not been interviewed before in these other books, and just again taking a look at the case decades later. Because again, every time I come back to Green Bay, it's a case that is still talked about in the local watering holes to this day.
Right, and Joe, you said people are still with us. Aren't they all still with us? Though it's 30 years?
Dale Bastin.
Oh, that's right.
He got compassionate release in 2017, and then Dale passed away in 2018.
You're right.
I actually got to know him. He was my trustee in the North Cell Hall at Green Bay Correctional for 3 years. He was there along with Ray Moore. So I got to know those guys, you know, from an inmate officer perspective. And that's a different perspective that I'm able to bring to the book that the other two books weren't able to have.
So 30 years later, That's a long time, but it doesn't seem like 30 years. Does it to you? It sure doesn't to me.
No, because I was working in the news business when this happened. I was a news reporter for 3 years in radio when that case broke. And I remember trading stories when I was down at OSH in Oshkosh with Terry Charles at the time. He's big at PMI, great guy. He was at WNFL in Green Bay.
Right.
And we would trade stories when something big would happen in Oshkosh. We would pen something for him. So it seems still kind of fresh in the mind in some ways, you know.
All right, so 30 years later, do you get this? I don't want to talk about it. Or are people pretty open?
Some yes, some no. One of the defendants does not want to talk about it because he's got some pending legal stuff going on. But others like Mike Piaskowski, well, he was the first one that got out in 2001 of that case. And Mike is very active in the community with like the local show car scene, muscle cars.
Right.
He's a Boone and Crockett guy. He's just a very active guy in the community. And, some are willing to talk, some... I haven't pursued too many on the prosecution side. I've had one really extensive interview with retired assistant district attorney Pat Hitt, and he provided some great insight. He thinks signed, sealed, and delivered, they got it right. And he equates that whole case to it's six hardworking guys that were good people that in his mind, it was a case where they got whipped into a frenzy similar to like the January 6th thing. That's his take on it. Now, if you talk to on the other side, and in this book, I'm trying to present kind of an even thing of both sides as I can. On the prosecution side, I'm not, some attorneys have not been willing to talk so far, but I haven't reached out to all of them yet. So there's still time for that.
Pretty interesting, because that was the January 6th. That's interesting. That's the first time I've heard that analogy. But I want to say, I don't know the case. I followed it, right? Everybody followed it
sure.
in Green Bay, 30 mm-hmm. years ago. But that was kind of the prosecution's, that was their angle.
And
they had a little bit with pensions, right?
They made it seem like a union mob mentality.
Right.
But the truth is, and I've discovered this in writing the book, those six guys did not all know each other hardly at all. I mean, that's just the truth of it. So
wow.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Joe. Stick around. Joe Vertigan, talk about his new book. And, of course, the very last one has been released or is going to be released in Kutzka.
Maybe next year. We'll see.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the last. Oh, yeah. Of the six. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. We're going to set a quick break. Back up. Welcome back. Well, ZZ Top rocking it into the weekend. Remember when MTV started ZZ Top videos, Todd?
That thing. That red car was cool. And that
remember
video?
That? Absolutely.
Sharp Dressed Man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That
loved
was good.
ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah.
You a ZZ Top guy back then? No?
No?
Not at all? Oh, man. Early 80s when MTV came out and ZZ Top videos would be out. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
What was your all-time favorite video?
Oh, well, I was a big Kiss fan growing up.
I do not like Kiss.
Here's the deal. I'm not going to Crandon, though, and here's why. They're coming Labor Day weekend. To me, it's Gene, Paul, and two imposters. If it was the four original guys, I would consider going, but I'm going to go announce a race that night in Eagle River. So
well, there you go. You a Kiss guy? I don't like Kiss. I think really overrated.
I like
if they didn't have the whole gimmicky with the stuff, would they still be considered?
Well,
that's the beauty of that. They carved out a niche, kind of like your glam band or some of these other people. I think what they do and that Gene with his, I mean, how long have they been around?
Too long. Well, here's my point. They've had
about 65,
70.
I bet he's 70.
Yeah.
He is,
wow.
John.
And to put that gear on and the makeup and those guys, my beef with that too is how many farewell tours can you have for goodness sakes?
Yeah.
You know,
I want to say this about Gene Simmons, and I got to meet him, and I think I told this story how he does support the veterans.
He does very much,
and he likes to collect keys to the city where he performs. So we presented him one.
Right.
He was as nice as could be, and sometimes these older entertainers they back off a little bit. They sit on a stool and sing for a couple hours. That guy works like he worked 30, 40 years
ago.
He's
a workaholic. He always has been.
He's in great shape. He's, I thought the show was great. I'm with Johnny. I'm not a big Kiss fan. I didn't follow him either way, but like, I like people who work.
And you gave him a key to the city. I didn't know that. That's cool. So I'm wondering what year that, because they've came here several times. I'm wondering what year that was. Do you remember offhand?
15, maybe.
Okay, that would, they were in makeup at the time then, right?
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, I do remember this
and
now.
I just want to say one other thing about entertainers, and John's dealt with entertainers, and I have.
I am an entertainer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yes. He's talent. You know, when we get ready for the show, get this, Joe, the first show, we're getting ready now. It's like a little nervous to make sure we had the outline. I got all my notes, and Johnny's just like, talent to the set. Talent to the set. He's calling himself talent. I thought, oh, God, I got to work with this guy. But anyway.
Don't you remember the Kentucky Fried Chicken story in the Channel 11 newsroom sports office? Yeah. In 9:30, China Beach, we're selling down on KFC. He's got a show in like a half hour. Ah, don't worry about it.
He doesn't worry too much. So he's got some health issues, but one of them is not high blood pressure because he pretty rough rules with it. But I just want to say with Kiss and I didn't really. So we gave him the key to the city, and they gave us all access passes, and they truly were. We were in there, in the dressing room. We had the dinner with them. So do I like them as their music? I don't know, but do I like them as people? What they do for the veterans and what they did for the community and how well they treated me and my daughter.
Sure.
I thought it was awesome. So.
I enjoyed watching their TV show. I will say that.
Pardon
Gene
me?
Simmons had a TV show for a few years, and I liked his kids a lot. Remember, I can't remember the name of it.
Nick is his son, and Sophie's his daughter.
Yes.
And she was married to Shannon Tweed. He's still married to her. She was a Playboy model, actually.
She was gorgeous. Todd, what was the name of that show?
I don't remember that.
Todd.
Gene Simmons, Family Jewels.
Family Jewels.
That's it.
Yep.
I will tell you this. If you ever get on YouTube and you want to look up something crazy, Kiss did a Halloween special way back in the day.
With Paul Lynn.
With Paul Lynn.
I remember it.
Really?
Yes.
And,
oh,
Witchy,
yeah.
And Witchy Poo was on there too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Who's Witchy Poo? Who's that?
From the Wizard of Oz.
She was from Huff and Puff.
Oh,
right?
Huff and Puff. Yeah, yes. That's it.
Todd, how do you know all these things? You didn't know Alone in the Wilderness on PBS.
Right. Well, I my stuff is very niche.
Do you know what?
We said he was a little nerdy.
Hey,
right?
You know what we need to know? Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give a $25 gift certificate out to the Depot. Okay, to the depot.
Right, the train to the depot.
I have a hard time pronouncing the second word.
Gift card.
No, the other one. I didn't have my glasses on.
Gastropub. Okay.
$25. What TV show does Todd watch to fall asleep at night?
Okay.
What
so
TV? He
had to be listening
earlier tonight today, rather.
Yeah, you had to be listening, but. We talked about, you know, maybe I don't sleep through the night, and I was watching this PBS, and we got on a kick for PBS, and we segued a little bit to Ambien, and then Todd's like, you know what I do, you guys? I watch this show on PBS. So if you remember what Todd watched.
Yes.
Todd is our producer. He's our boss. Did he tell you that, Joe?
No, he
new
did.
Guy.
No.
Yeah.
920-264-0606. How do they text us, Todd?
They can text right through the app, the Civic Media app, and we've got text coming in already.
Okay. What TV show for $25 gift certificate to the Depot? Say that other word again.
Gift card. Gastropub.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Right. You two are crazy.
All right.
So I got to get the winner on it, but it's from 920, so listening in the area.
Okay.
The answer is Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
That's a good one, actually.
He's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's our winner, Todd?
I'll find out for you and get back to
you. All right, great.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. Well, back, you know, we're talking about a lot of things, but how's your book coming? What stage are you at?
And again, this is Joe.
Joe Vertigan.
Who is writing, he's written a lot of books on stock car racing. He worked at our prison here, which is right in Alloway. And he's writing a book now on this Monfile 6. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, Monfile 6 case 30 years later.
Okay.
You know, it's slow and steady because summertime is so busy. If I get a rainy day, I'll hammer out some chapters. If I had to estimate how far along I was, maybe 30%, 30 to 35%.
You know, when I write my books, Joe, to be honest with you, you talked about sometimes you're up in the middle of the night or whatever, and Todd was talking about he needs things to sleep. Whenever I would wake up in the middle of the night like that, I would write.
That's the best time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. It's dead silent. I might make a thing of tea.
Yep.
And it's absolute silence. And that's something like the creative juices really
you
get
flowing.
You talk
about like clarity and, yeah, and things like that. It's incredible.
And I want to say about that time, and I enjoyed that time too. I to get some stuff done, but you don't feel like you're missing anything either. Like I always felt when I was mayor that, oh my God, I can't do this. I got to do this. I got to go to this event. I got to work on this. You know, at 2:30 in the morning, you're not missing anything.
No.
And the kids are sleeping, the dog's fine, and you can just, it's your time like no one else's.
Have you talked to Jim? He should write a book about his time.
We talked about that this morning.
He should.
Yeah, we did.
That'd be good. I really think
but
so.
Tell me how, so your book, when do you think that's going to be out for us to?
Boy, one of the things, the racing books, it took me, I was working on the prison book 2 years. The racing books, I could knock down, out one a year. This one, I haven't set a deadline on. In a best case scenario.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. Joe Vertigan, our very special guest here in the studio today. Well, Joe, as I was talking right before the break there, you know, when you first start out writing books, I've written four. I'm working on two more right now.
Right.
But it is a little bit pulling teeth because you don't really have that credibility of what you're doing and whatever, whatever, whatever. But then, you know, the best feeling is when, like, a gentleman called me yesterday. He goes, John Mino? I said, yeah. I said, hey, I met you on Veterans Day last year when you spoke in Freedom. I'm the Korean War veteran. I'm ready to talk. It's
right.
Like, wow. Thank you. That's such a good feeling when you get something like that. We've got Mike Clemens. He's the sports director for Civic Radio. Mike, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good.
Great. How's this week been with the Patriots?
Got a little testy yesterday, John.
That's what I hear.
It was a long practice, 2.5 hours. And we weren't too far into it until somebody shoved somebody, and the next thing you know, we got one of those camp fights where there's 50 guys, you know, all on top of one another, and there's a few people trying to throw punches. Like one of the Bengals said last week when this happened between the Packers and the Bengals, like, look, we're wearing $10,000 worth of football equipment. How much hurt can you
really
get?
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're A.J. Dillon and you're on your back like a turtle and you got 300-pound linemen there, you can step on a guy's wrist or hand or, you know, an ankle or something like that. So there'd been a couple of these things. And then Bill Belichick calls over his team for a timeout and team huddle, and he's probably telling him, look, this, you know, knock this stuff off. Here's what we're looking for. I know I talked about you last night, and you got to be more intense, because New England looked a little flat in the first practice. But, you know, you got to cut this crap out. The very next play, Aaron Jones runs a little sideline route. Jordan Love flips it out to him out there in the flats. And this one defensive back, Jalen Mills, you know, hits him. It's supposed to be thud. You know,
right.
It's like 75% of a tackle. But he hit him in the back. And so Aaron went back, and the next thing you know, these two are shoving and pushing and throwing punches again. And we ended up having like seven different fights yesterday that kept interrupting practice. So I went in the locker room, and I went right to Aaron Jones, who'd talked to the media the day before, but he's nice enough. I said, you know, what's going on? What was happening between you and number two?
Today was supposed to be thud, but how are you? You can't thud anybody from the back. And I was like cutting, and I was on one leg, so I got pushed in the back and go over there and like, hey, this is not what we're going to be doing. That wasn't a clean play. We're going to be playing clean football. We're going to be professionals, and let's keep it at that.
So you went for clarification, then he comes back and starts jacking you.
I mean, I did give him a shove. I said that and just starts jacking and kept jacking the whole time.
You know, Mike, that surprises me. We don't hear what they say when Belichick calls them over, but isn't he kind of Attila the Hun? Doesn't he kind of?
Yeah, what he says normally is the gospel. Yeah,
I mean,
you know, I mean, that was is like we hear Jones is like, well, you know, the Patriots, they're doing this differently than the way we do it all the time. I'll tell you what, you know, it's been such an incredible week because we're standing there after practice yesterday. And there goes Belichick walking right past us in the hallway while we're ready to get into the Packers locker room. And he's going up the tunnel. I think he's going to go over there and talk to LaFleur about, you know, what just happened there? So I talked to a couple of other players about this topic. Elgton Jenkins, the left guard, who got into it with a couple of guys last week with the Bengals, and he says, you know, one of the points today of the team meeting was that there's were supposed to be zero fights with the Patriots today.
Yeah, one of the emphases was not fighting out there. So, you know, you always try to calm things down, but, you know, sometimes things get out of hand and you got to regulate the situation. So, but, you know, we always just try to keep each other calm and cool, collective, to a certain point. These are what these pressures for. You know, you're going against other guys, so it always kind of get chippy out there at times. Just like I say, it's football, you know, and there is no consequences to the things going on. So you got to have your head on the swivel. I won't say things got out of hand. It was a good practice. You know, everybody came out with effort, us and them as well. So those things happen.
Wow.
Well, and then you got somebody like a Deion Sanders. Did you see what he came out with the other day when they had a fight in practice and some of the guys didn't get involved and chewed them out like you can't believe because they didn't get in the fight?
Right. I mean, it's like, well, you know, what are you doing standing there on the sidelines?
Right.
You should be out there with your brothers. And then I got, you know, A.J. Dillon. I mean, Quadzilla, right? As tough as they can come, but you got Patriots that are shoving him over after he had a ball stripped away from him. And he's there on his back, you know, got kind of tripped. And, you know, he says, look, you know, we're trying our best out there, but camp fights are going to happen.
Yeah, and I just hope it. And Mike, you follow the Packers for Civic Media. This isn't going to go into the season, is it? We're not going to see
during the games. No, they'll be ejected. But we've got AJ Dillon here, and when I talk to him.
Football's a physical game. It's tough. Sometimes it's tough between the lines to kind of see what's what. My focus is on our guys. Our focus is on our guys. And in instances where our guys are getting pushed down or whatever, like, that's my entire focus. Like, hey, like, let's make sure we're good. Let's try to, you know, lock back in and recalibrate.
You know, Mike, I was watching Hard Knocks. The Jets were having it with Carolina. Same type of thing. These things just really happen a lot. But correct me if I'm wrong. Last year or the year before, somebody from Cincinnati really hit a Packer tight end hard. Remember that? And wasn't he kind of damaged goods for quite some time after that?
Yeah. Well, there's also that time we talked about when the Packers had that joint practice with the Texans, and it was Matt LaFleur's first year here, and Jay Sternberger was a third-round
pick. That's
it.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And this Lonnie Johnson kid was a defensive back, a rookie, but a hard-hitting kid. And he nailed Sternberger over the middle. It would have been a dirty hit in the game.
Right.
And Sternberger was really never the same after that.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's the one I was thinking of, yep.
Although, I mean, it's taken him years to sort of get back on track. This past year, he was in the USFL, for the Birmingham team that won the championship, and his quarterback was Alex Magoo, who right now is the number 3 on the roster for the Packers.
Yep.
So you got this game tomorrow night, and, boy, we back on the safety position, no one has really broken through back there yet. You know, you wonder if the thoughts have been this week that there's a rookie from the 7th round out of Kentucky named Carrington Valentine, who's really flashed in camp. Had a pick against the Bengals.
Right.
He's getting picks and deflected passes in practice every day. Maybe they got to find a way to get this kid on the field because it's going to be a while before Eric Stokes comes back. And so then at that point you think maybe they should move Rasul Douglas back to safety. And LaFleur actually acknowledged that when he was asked about it. Maybe it's to push those guys in the safety room. Like, hey, listen.
Right, yeah.
No one's breaking through here. To who's going to be the guy next to Darnell Savage. And another position we talked about is like that number 3 running back, you know, and they've had some flashes from different guys. And so I went and talked to Quay Walker, the Packers inside linebacker who faces that Packers offense every day, and he talked about some of the guys they've got there, like Patrick Taylor and A.J. Dillon and some of the other ones, and Tyler Goodson, a very speedy guy, number 39, and how he looks out there.
He gives you a lot of trouble because he's most shifty. He can really run routes. Out of all of them, I'd say he's probably the best one to me when challenging them when it comes to running routes because he's just so shifty and everything like that. So he can get in out of his breaks and everything like that. So he's a pretty good route runner. All of them, Patrick, PT, all of them are good backs. Whether it's come down to pass pro, whether it's come to them getting open, running routes as well, I think AJ is doing a real good job in expanding his game and, you know, buying in and the play pass and everything like that. So all of them doing a well job.
Any word on how they're going to split the quarterback duties tomorrow night?
No. We think LaFleur is going to let us know about that today. We assume that Jordan Love needs to get more snaps along with first team. And, again, that may also go down to what they're going to do with the offensive line, if they're going to have, you know, the right protection for him. But I got two weird little flashbacks that I had this week. First of all, when Belichick walked by the other day, or yesterday actually, outside the Packer locker room, I thought, you know, when did the Patriots hire him? And I looked it up. So Ray Rhodes goes 8-8, and after 1 year is let go. And Ron Wolf says, okay, that was a defensive coach. We got to get an offensive coach to get Brett Favre back into the Super Bowl. So he hires Mike Sherman, who was the offensive coordinator out there for the Seahawks. And, of course, Mike Sherman lasts about 5 years. 10 days after Ron Wolf hires Mike Sherman, the Patriots hire Bill Belichick.
So he was available, huh? Isn't that amazing?
23 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, yesterday, I see Belichick standing out there in the field. He's talking to his director of scouting, who is Elliot Wolf, the son of Ron Wolf.
He's their director of scouting now?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Wow. Yeah. Small world.
So, and then there was this moment last week where, you remember the game in December of 2013? It's the Packers against the Bears at Soldier Field. It's cold. And Aaron Rodgers pulls, you know, a rabbit out of his hat, and Randall Cobb releases down the left-hand side, right? And he's wide open, and Rodgers hits him for 48 yards.
Yep.
John Kuhn blocks off Julius Peppers.
Yep.
Touchdown. They win the game. They clinch the division, go on to the playoffs, right in front of the Bears' face at Soldier Field. Great play, right?
Yep.
I'm in the tunnel down there at Soldier Field post-game, waiting to get into the locker room to talk to those Packers, and there's Ted. There's Ted Thompson standing, waiting in the tunnel until all the players are coming off. And when Aaron finally comes off the field after talking to the networks, he stands there and he gives Aaron Rodgers a hug like he's the son he never had. And I actually snapped a picture of that and reposted it. Last week in Cincinnati, all the players are coming off the field, or they're wrapping up the night, and here's Brian Gutekunst standing in the tunnel, and he gives Jordan Love a big hug, to saying it looked good. That's what we're looking for. Congratulations. It was almost, I wish I'd taken a picture of that one, because if you put the two together, because you know what? Because Jordan Love is his guy now.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So his whole reputation will go down. Yep.
There's a couple of these plays, you know, where Jordan, he's got the, he gets the team to the line. He seems to get the right calls, but he's trying to look off safeties to try and open up guys. And then he misses, you know, like a Luke Musgrave,
right,
rookie tight end wide open over the middle, right? And I said, you're doing all these things, making the checks, you know, pulling guys off, safeties, all that. Do you think that sometimes you're overthinking these plays a little bit?
No, I don't think so at all. I think I'm out there playing right now. I think if anything, the reps I've had over the years have just, you know, built up confidence and seeing different looks and things like that. You know, obviously there's some times like today where, you know, you see a defense that you might not have seen. They present a look and you're trying to fill them out on the snap, see what they're going to try and get to. But I think all that stuff will help when we have, you know, a game plan where you're able to game plan throughout the week and you kind of see different looks on film. You know, going to a day like today, you kind of don't know what they're going to throw at you. So anything's kind of open. But no, I think that's one thing I've done less of this year, is just being able to go out there and play, be free, not be thinking as much.
That's encouraging. When these guys give you those answers, Mike, and of course we're talking with Mike Clements, who's the Civic Media
sports director.
Right, and covers the Packers. Is that true? I mean, you know these guys.
I think Jordan loves straight shooter, man.
Yeah, I do too.
And, you know, there isn't the complicated thing where he's calling out the younger receivers or, you know, any
like
of those
other kind
of scenarios. It's rather refreshing. I mean, listen, we're, you know, as a reporter, we're going to miss Aaron Rodgers because we got the rest of the story that usually you weren't getting from the podium, right? And a lot of good stuff that way. But that also probably, I don't know if that motivated or if that divided that locker room. We're going to find out. But right now it feels very, very much together. And I think Jordan answered that straight right. No, I'm not overthinking it. I actually feel pretty relaxed. Now, this is
cool.
My fourth year, and I know what I'm doing, and I just got to work out timing with these guys.
But that's great to hear. Yeah, I'm jacked about this game. Johnny and I are going together.
I think, you know what? I still say, Mike, the game against the Lions last year, everything at stake for the Packers, nothing at stake for the Lions. And the Lions came out with so much more enthusiasm. And Aaron Rodgers, I thought, just phoned that one in.
No, totally.
And
everybody,
John,
everyone's thought that, felt it,
knew
it.
I think Jordan Love's going to give a whole type of juice to that locker room.
All right. Hey, we're coming back with another special guest. I mean, Joe's still in the house, but we got somebody online here.
All right.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Mine on the Mayor, back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mine or the Mayor here on WGBW and WISS in Oshkosh, 97.3 in Oshkosh, 97.9 in Green Bay, 1590 AM. Now, you've got I don't know what's going on here, but you've got a friend calling in.
We have
right?
lots of friends, and we two of the best friends that you and I both have, and we've worked with these guys, is this Mad Dog and Merrill. These guys, entertaining, fun, educational, and have great spices. And
why are they calling in?
I called them and I said, hey, look, man, we got a new show started here. And I'd like them to help us.
Just to say hello.
To say hello.
Okay.
So,
who is this, Mad Dog or Merrill?
Mad Dog, and I'm grumpy as can be. Why haven't I been on your show yet?
Hello, Mad Dog. This is Mino. It's good to talk to you again.
Oh, yeah, fine. Then good to talk to you, too.
Wow, he is a little.
And you can't be that grumpy because, well, maybe.
It's a beautiful Friday, you know, Mad Dog.
And when I called him this morning, he's like, look, I'm exercising between 6 and 7. So, I mean, you got to be all ready to go.
First lie of the day is good.
Yep. You got to keep in shape to flip those burgers, you know.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Hey, we'd love to have you on our show. We have our list of things. And you're right up on the top of the list. And how can we make
Mad Dog, we don't have a list. He's lying.
You're actually calling. I'm like 15th down below. Finally, you got someone who answered the phone with you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, so thanks for calling in. We'll give you a $25 gift card. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. That's all I asked for.
We'll give you some Mad Dog and Merrill spices.
Oh, I don't need those.
So, hey, how are things going with you guys? I mean, you're very active on social media, and I catch you once in a while. And John and I were talking earlier. It was always fun being with you guys. How do we get you here?
You know, something, we'd love to be there. And, you know, we do have a busy schedule. It's just amazing. You know, Merrill and I have seen the evolution of the grill industry. We've been in the business for about 44 years as Mad Dog and Merrill. 44 years.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Wow,
So we should call that. We'll call the senior bus, and we'll have him pick us up and deliver us to you guys. How's that?
I love
that. We would love that. So we'll do a little.
I'll arrange the senior bus. You know, we always look at it this way. You know, tailgate season officially starts around the 1st of September. So how about the 1st of September?
I love it.
That's a week from. Is that a week from today? 2 weeks from today? Todd, what is that?
That's
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today, okay.
So 2 weeks from today, we're going to have, really, you're serious, you're going to come here and grill in front of us?
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll bring a little portable grill. We'll bring some tailgate products along, tailgate samples along. People can come and see us. You guys got a deck there or something we can cook on?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're set.
We got a sidewalk.
We're good. We've got a great studio location. It'd be easy to do. It'd be fun to do. This is going to be great. So 2 weeks from today is September 1st, and you're going to be grilling. It's early. Our show's on from 6 to 8 in the morning.
When do you get your workout in?
We'll choose the second hour, 7 to 8.
Okay. Right. I love it.
We're in.
And everybody who comes, I'm going to bring along a bunch of diplomas. We got these Mad Dog and Merrill Barbecue University diplomas. We'll bring a bunch of those along. We'll sign them to people. Anybody who comes up, get some nice samples. They get their barbecue science or BS degree. from us, and it's a nice little official diploma.
Nice.
We are all in. This is going to be great. So they're going to have your barbecue with your great seasoning. Do you want us to provide them the beverages? I mean, it is 7 in the morning, so just water.
Whatever you guys want to do.
We have plenty
here. I think it's a great tailgate time period.
All right. What's on the menu?
We'll bring some summer sausage along. How's that?
I like it.
We love that.
Yeah, we'll slobber a little bit of Mad Dog and Merle barbecue sauce on there, bring some summer sausage along, cook it up. And I think September 1st is National Make Fun of Merle Day.
I didn't know that, but we'll celebrate it.
It's official. It's official.
All right, we'll start promoting it.
Do you have any deep-fried side pork?
Oh, my God. Merle, Mad Dog, I don't know if you've listened, but Johnny went to a cholesterol fest, and just what he needed, by the way. And they deep fried
side pork.
And
I just want to say that he got some for me. It's been sitting in the front seat of his car for 3 days. He says to me, "Hey, I got that side pork for you."
It's okay. It's in a bag.
I would have eaten it right off the grill, much less 3 days later.
Anyway. You know, you microwave it to 150 degrees, all that bacteria will die.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, Mad Dog, we look forward to this.
September 1st, 7 a.m., everyone has to be there. They get their BS degree, their barbecue science. They get their diploma from Mad Dog and Merrill.
Sounds awesome. Great, buddy.
Look forward to seeing you then, September 1st. All right, have a great weekend.
Get back to that workout.
peace, love. No, I'm having coffee on the deck.
There you go. Nice. Love it. And John will get back to his side pork.
Yes, so, I will. Right. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, Mad Dog.
Good talk to you.
Yep, peace, love.
Very cool. So Joe Vertigan's still in the house.
I am.
So, buddy, I got to ask you one quick question.
Yes.
About your days at the reformatory and reading your book.
Hey, bring it on. What do you got?
I loved it how, like, when those guys would protest something, how you guys came up with creative ways. Like, one time they were going on a hunger strike.
Right.
And the prisoners scheduled it so when it's going to be a meal that they really didn't like, it was like their worst meal. So then one of you guys, whoever it was, changed the menu and it's like, oh no, it's bacon cheeseburger night. And yes. All of a sudden the strike ended.
Oh yeah.
That's hilarious.
I know, is that?
Yes. I think that was under the direction of our warden, Jim Murphy, God rest his soul. Probably one of the best wardens I ever worked with there over the years. But yeah, you got to get creative like that sometimes.
I just thought that was outstanding. Talk about psychology. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Because all of a sudden the strike ended.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we don't have much time, but there are some people out here who have stories to tell.
Yes.
And tell me about that publishing process. We had Natalie on here, but are you guys self-published? How did you get your, now you're onto your sixth book, so you probably got it down, and Johnny's got five books.
My first three books were with Mike DePlace, M&B Global Solutions. And
Green Bay guy, right?
Yeah, Green Bay guy, former reporter. Yes, good guy. His wife, Bonnie Gressel.
Yep.
After that, I went to a Manitowoc publisher, someone who was in motorsports who I have a connection with, Jeff Peterson, Pedal Down Promotions. And they do a great job. A lot of the editing process and stuff, I kind of learned to do a lot of that myself. But I rely on him to take care of the technical end of things and layout, which is something I don't really concern myself with a whole lot. But we always have like an arm wrestling contest, so to speak. I'll give him like 70 photos and we'll whittle that down for the book to like maybe 30 or 35.
And that's done right here in Green Bay, Manitowoc. I mean, it's not like you have to go to Penguin.
No.
That's cool to know.
It is, actually. And, a big breakthrough was we got the physical book of the reformatory in Barnes & Noble, right downtown in Ashwaubenon, which is a very, as you know, John, that's hard to get. You know what I mean?
I was shocked when I was in Barnes & Noble and saw my book.
I know. I got a text from my son.
The guy's like, oh, I dropped that. I'll pick it up. No, yeah. I know. Johnny was in there.
I said it was a special category they had because it was with Stephen Ambrose and all those.
Oh, yeah.
And the category was authors who have made millions and authors who have made dozens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Joe, this is really fun. Joe Vertigan, and best of luck with your new book. The name of it, once again, is...
Is The Monfile 6 Case 30 Years Later.
We're going to talk about that.
Absolutely. Yep. We got lots of... Well, everybody, once again, Brown County Fair, Veterans Day on Sunday. I'll be there. Everybody, have a great weekend. Mine on the Mayor. See you on Monday. Yeah.